Welcome. You're listening to Ask the Doulas, a podcast where we talk to experts from all over the country about topics related to pregnancy, birth, postpartum, and early parenting. Let's chat.
Hello, hello. This is Kristen Revere with Ask the Doulas, and I am so excited to chat with Allison Prado today. Allison wears so many hats, but she is the Infertile AF group founder. She's a podcaster. She's a new author, and she is a reproductive organizer. Welcome, Allison.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. It's great to talk to you.
Yeah, we're both Hey Mama members, so I tend to see a bit about your rally and some of the work that you're doing in the fertility space, and I've been so impressed.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much. Yeah, Hey Mama has been such a great way to connect with so many women doing incredible things, so I'm happy to be here.
Totally agree. So let's get into a bit about your background and what led you to, you know, making a career of your personal journey.
It's so funny because I never would have imagined 20 years ago or more that I would be in this fertility space, but it kind of does make sense. So I have a journalism background. I got a journalism degree from the University of Illinois in Chicago. And I started right away working in magazines when I graduated from college. I always wanted to tell people stories. You know, my favorite thing to do was to write profiles about people. I ended up, you know, over the course of the 2 decades that I was in magazines, I did a lot of celebrity cover stories for magazines, a lot of features just about getting with a group of people and kind of talking about what they did all day, a lot of college stories, a lot of music stories. I've just always been fascinated with people who have big personalities, who are doing interesting things. And that was kind of my career path for 20 years. You know, I started working for Playboy magazine, was my first job out of college. It was awesome. I worked there for 10 years. I was an editor and I was their music editor. And that was a really great background because, you know, the whole cliche of everyone says, like, you read it for the articles, Playboy. They really did have great articles. And so I grew up kind of around all these really great journalists and writers, and they kind of taught me how to do my thing and helped shape me into the storyteller I guess I am now. So anyway, I did magazines for a while, moved to New York, bounced around a lot, you know, worked for everybody from like Rolling Stone to Harper's Bazaar to Teen Vogue. And, you know, while I was doing that, you know, my husband and I are high school sweetheart, and we had gotten married in 2002. It's kind of nerdy, but we always say we did go to 2 different colleges and we dated other people in college. So it's not that quirky. But when we moved to New York, all of our friends back in Chicago, where we had originally been from, were starting to build their families and have kids and stuff. And we were like, you know, we were just turning 30 at the time. And we were both like, we can't have kids right now. We're moving to a whole new city. We have to kind of start from scratch. We don't have really a lot of friends. We don't even know how to ride the subway. So like, we're not, you know, ready to have our kids. And this is all leading to kind of our fertility journey, because I did put it off for a while having kids. And, you know, I say this all the time now, I didn't know much about my fertility. I didn't realize that at the age of 35, things kind of start going downhill in terms of being able to have kids more easily. I was looking at Hollywood and being like, oh, Halle Berry just had a baby at 46, you know, Janet Jackson, 50.
Exactly.
Not knowing behind the scenes what might have been going on. You know, I'm not going to speculate. They never really either came out and told their stories about how they actually had their kids. But point being, you know, I just thought that you could have a baby whenever you wanted. And I honestly thought that. So we did start to try when we were in our kind of mid 30s. I did get pregnant and we had my daughter when I was 34. And then, you know, second kid, we always kind of talked about having one, but we didn't start to try for the second kid for 2 or 3 years. And that's when I started down the infertility journey, which I never thought I would be in, because that point, I was having a lot of problems, not getting pregnant, but staying pregnant. So I had 4 miscarriages after I had my daughter trying to have our second kid. And that's when I found myself in this world of infertility and being like, what's going on? Tell me if you want me to stop, because I feel like I'm just droning on and on. But
oh, no, I am loving all of it. And I feel that secondary infertility is not discussed enough.
It's not.
I mean, there's a lot of focus on that first conception. But as you mentioned, you delayed a couple years, you started later in life. We have many parallels. I started later in life as well. I had my kids at 36 and 38.
Yeah.
I didn't have fertility struggles, but I delayed having kids for multiple reasons, career being one of them. And right. I also have a journalism degree. So
oh, funny. Wow. We are living parallel lives.
Totally.
So yeah, I basically, after I had my first miscarriage, I kind of felt like I have so many friends who've had miscarriages, unfortunately, and it's always very sad and devastating. But to be honest, I was like, okay, this seems pretty common. It's maybe kind of like a rite of passage, I guess, if you're trying to have a baby. Didn't think too much about it. But then once I had the fourth one, I was like, okay, something's wrong. So we did end up going to a reproductive endocrinologist who ended up being the doctor that we worked with. This amazing doctor, Joshua Klein, who now works at Extend Fertility in New York. He's awesome. And I got very lucky because it was just kind of a friend had recommended RMA where he worked at the time. And I ended up with him and he was just great. So basically he did, you know, the workup on me and realized that it was age related. You know, it was that I had a healthy egg reserve because now I was about 37 and a half, 38.
Okay.
I had a healthy egg reserve, but the reason that I was having miscarriages is because the unhealthy eggs were, you know, meeting with the sperm so that they weren't healthy embryos. So he basically said to me in layman's terms, like your body is doing the right thing. It's getting rid of pregnancies that aren't going to be healthy, but that doesn't make it any easier, obviously. So he said, you're the perfect candidate for IVF. If we can find the healthy eggs and then put those with the sperm, then we should be good because we know that you can get pregnant. It's just a matter of having a healthy embryo when you do get pregnant. So that was the way that it was explained to me. I never even heard the term secondary infertility until later, which is kind of wild because I feel like it's so much
more
there now. But it was really, really hard that those four losses and, you know, between my daughter and my son, I was got so depressed there. I've been really open about relationship problems. My husband and I, you know, we were kind of not on the same page after a while. He's like, why are we doing this to ourselves? And, you know, I totally understand his side of the story in retrospect. But at the time I was like, you don't understand. I'm like going to die if I don't have a second child. I just felt like our family wasn't complete. And it was so devastating to me that I just couldn't have this second baby. And yeah, you know, you mentioned secondary infertility, the thing about it that's so unique and kind of hard to explain is that, you know, you kind of get sometimes some pushback from people like, oh, that's not a thing, or like, that's not as hard as not having a baby at all. You already have one. You should be happy with what you have. And they kind of make you feel guilty for wanting another one, you know, not everybody, but some people.
And yeah, I get that. I led some fertility support groups during the pandemic, and some of the participants had expressed exactly that, some of that shame almost.
Yeah, like shame or you're being greedy. And what I always tried to explain was like, I'm not being greedy. I love being a mom so much. Like my daughter was everything to me, and I just wanted to do it again. I wanted to be a mom even more, if that makes any sense. It was coming from a place of love, not a place of greed. And it's kind of hard to explain, I guess, if you haven't been in that position. You know, we always talk about Infertility Rally, which is a community that I co-founded 4 years ago. We always talk about it's not the pain Olympics. You know, everybody's got a different story. And when women kind of try to compare or say, oh, you haven't been through as much as me, or that's not as hard as what I'm going through, I feel like we're really doing ourselves a disservice and doing each other a disservice. So I try not to compare pain. I feel like with infertility in particular, a loss is a loss, and it doesn't
matter.
The loss of having a retrieval that didn't go well and you didn't get what you wanted, or having a failed transfer, or an embryo that doesn't thaw correctly and you aren't able to use it anymore, or an early gestational miscarriage, a chemical pregnancy, like all these things are losses. And at the end of the day, it's all the loss of a dream. It's all the loss of how you thought your life was going to be. And it's all hard.
It really is. And so I love that you have the rally as a safe space and an education option for just the general public. You've gotten a lot of publicity and you're getting the word out. So people who aren't even like considering having kids are getting exposed to things that we might not have during our own pregnancies.
Yeah. Well, thank you for mentioning it. I'll tell you a little bit more about it in a second, but I will say like the whole thing for me was when I was going through all the miscarriages and the infertility, and then we ended up doing IVF, which again, I didn't really know anything about. And I say this, you know, feeling so embarrassed on my own behalf that I thought IVF was for people that wanted like multiple babies. Like I didn't realize, I had no idea what it was. I was so completely clueless. And I feel like such an idiot even saying that. But you know, when it was proposed to me, I was like, wait, IVF? What? Like Octomom? Like that was like a thing at the time. I don't know if you remember
right.
that.
Oh, I totally remember that. And
this is, unless, you know, sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, unless you had a family or friend that went through the IVF process, I mean, how would you know?
Right. Absolutely. And turns out I did have some friends that went through it, but nobody was really talking about it at times. So I remember going to the bookstore and looking for books about miscarriage and IVF. And there was really like a handful and that was it. And I was like, what, where are all the books? Like, why is no one talking about this? You know, and that's why eventually after I had gone through IVF, had my son, thankfully we did, you know, we did one round and that was kind of our Hail Mary round. Cause we were like, it had been years. Our marriage was kind of crumbling. We were like, we didn't have enough money. We had to borrow money from my parents and my husband's parents to do the IVF because it was all out of pocket. And if people don't know, it's like $20,000-$30,000 per round, depending, you
right.
know.
Right.
So
it's very costly. And if you're not a celebrity, how can you afford it?
Yeah. Some people have insurance, thankfully, that do cover it, but we didn't. And so, you know, we did do the one round. I got so incredibly lucky. I only had one healthy embryo to transfer. You know, we had five that were tested. Four were chromosomally abnormal. One was healthy. And that ended up being my son. So it was absolutely a miracle, if you ask me. You know, the odds were pretty low that it was going to work out. But it did. And he just turned 8.
Oh, I love it.
And my daughter's 14 now. But point being, you know, when I was going through it, I really just didn't have resources. I didn't have a group. I didn't have Facebook was kind of a thing, but I poked around on there and I couldn't really find my people. There weren't really any podcasts that were really talking about this. So that's why I did start Infertile AF, which is my podcast, where every week we tell different family building stories. I started with episode 1 is me telling my story. Episode 100, I went to my husband and we had some drinks and I interviewed him about his side of the story, because even though we were in it together, he had a totally different version of what he was going through, which is kind of interesting. But you know, it's
been, I love that. I'll have to check that one out.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. So we started that. I started that in 2019. And this week the 254th episode will come out. So it's been every week, you know, I interview everybody from celebrities to people I've met through Fertility Rally to people who email me or I've met through Instagram. It doesn't matter. I feel like everybody's story matters. You don't have to be, people sometimes will write and say, I don't know if my story is like interesting enough. And I'm like, that's BS. Like everybody's story matters. It doesn't, you don't have to go through X, Y, and Z to make it interesting. You know, I think these are all human stories and human experiences. And so, you know, we talk about same-sex family building, single parents by choice, surrogacy, egg donation, adoption, people who don't end up with babies and are childless, not by choice at the end. I just want to put as many stories out there as I can to let anybody who's going through something know that they're not alone, because I felt so alone when I was going through it.
It's so needed. So you didn't have that community and you built your own. I love it.
Yeah. So yeah, I started with the podcast. And then in 2020, Blair Nelson, who's someone I met through Instagram, who's also a big infertility advocate, she and I formed Fertility Rally. We started just kind of doing Zoom support groups like during the pandemic. It was literally like mid lockdown. And it just kind of spiraled and snowballed. And people were like, we need this like every week. So we started doing a weekly group and we formed this membership community called Fertility Rally. And today we have over 400 members. We have six support groups per week hosted by us and
Wow.
other people that we've hired. You know, we have events. We have Fertility Rally Live twice a year, which is like an all-day virtual conference, if you will, you know, with speakers and giveaways. And, you know, it's the whole thing, the whole overarching theme is just letting people know that they're not alone and providing support no matter what people are going through when they're trying to build their families, because it's so, it can be so hard and so lonesome and so devastating. And to just have a group of people that get it, that you can come on and you can cry or you can laugh or you can say something. You're like, you know, people be like, don't think I'm an asshole, but when I met my sister's baby, it didn't make me happy. And we're like, we get that, stuff like that.
Exactly. And some people don't have access. I mean, if they live in a rural area, the option of these remote virtual rallies and this membership group makes them feel less alone.
Right.
I mean, obviously in New York and Chicago and some of the more metropolitan cities, there are more resources as far as support.
Hey, Alyssa here. I'm just popping in to tell you about our course called Becoming. Becoming a mother is your guide to a confident pregnancy and birth, all in a convenient 6-week online program. From birth plans to sleep training and everything in between, you'll gain the confidence and skills you need for a smooth transition to motherhood. You'll get live coaching calls with Kristen and myself, a bunch of expert videos, including chiropractic care, pelvic floor physical therapy, mental health experts, breastfeeding, and much more. You'll also get a private Facebook community with other mothers going through this at the same time as you to offer support and encouragement when you need it most. And then, of course, you'll also have direct email access to me and Kristen, in addition to the live coaching calls. If you'd like to learn more about the course, you can email us at info@goldcoastdoulas.com or check it out at thebecomingcourse.com. We'd love to see you there.
Yeah, there are. But yeah, that's the good thing about being virtual is that we can have somebody who is in New Zealand, for example, or one of our members, Jenny, who comes on and it's the next day for her because we have her calls at night.
And
we're like Jenny from the future. It's like Thursday morning for her and it's Wednesday night for most of the rest of us. So
yes,
we're
I
able
love
to
it.
People, you know, in Hawaii or the Pacific Northwest or here in New York and New Jersey where I am, or Blair's down in Texas, you know, and we've also had these IRL events where we had one in Chicago last summer where we had 40 people come in from all over the country to spend a weekend together and just bond and have fun. And they all met through Fertility Rally and it was just amazing.
That's beautiful. Yeah. Nothing replaces in person, but
I know
certainly having virtual options more accessible.
Agreed. Absolutely. Yeah.
So let's dive into your journey as an author and your work of art. And then this is a children's book, correct?
It is. Yes. So I wrote a children's book. I actually just got the hard copies delivered to me yesterday. I hadn't had that in my hands until yesterday. And I opened the box and just started crying because it was so cool. It was such a cool moment. You know, like I said, my son is 8 and we've always been super open with him about how he was born. You know, he hears me doing the podcast. He's heard me talking about infertility and Fertility Rally and IVF and all this stuff. And I realized that there weren't that many, again, books out there that explain to kids about assisted reproductive technology or IVF. So there are some, and the ones that are out there are wonderful, but I wanted to do my take on it. So I just wrote this manuscript a handful of months ago, and I called it Work of Art, the ART being assisted reproductive technology. And it's the story of me telling my son how he was born in such a cool way and how wanted he was. And, you know, my daughter's in the book as well. And it's kind of just our little family story. And again, it's just to demystify assisted reproductive technology. And there's so many kids out there who are born this way, just to have parents share with their kids they feel comfortable doing so. This is how you were born. We wanted you so badly. You were made in a lab. And like, isn't that cool? Like that science is so cool. So that's kind of the, you know, my spin on it is just explaining to him. He overhears me talking to another mom on the playground that he's an IVF baby. And in the car on the way home, he says, "Mom, did you say, what was that? Did you say something about Ivy?" And then I say, "Oh, do you want me to tell you tonight, you know, what I was talking about?" So I explain it to him, but
that's perfect.
I met with this, I found this really incredible illustrator, Federico Bonaticini, who's in Buenos Aires. And, you know, he sent me some stuff. I sent him the manuscript and it was just exactly the tone and the level of like cuteness and coolness that I was looking for. The illustrations are gorgeous and fun. And he really, there's a lot of Easter eggs in the book, like little things, like there's like a little InfertileF logo, like in the hanging in the car and just like little things people can kind of pick up on. There's a place where I'm wearing a sweatshirt that says "Worst Club, Best Members," which is our fertility rally tagline, stuff like that. So it's, you know, it's just, it's for young readers. It's a hardcover book. I'd say it's for like ages 4 to 8, maybe a little older too, but it's just something that people can share with their families. And it's been really embraced, which makes me so happy. You know, the first 150 copies I'm like personalizing and shipping for free in the US, and those are sold out. So that's
wow. Awesome. Congrats, Ellie. That's huge.
Thank you. Yeah. So I'll do another run, and they're available on my website, which is InfertileF Group. And it's, you know, this is the first in what I hope to be a series. I already have the second and the third and the fourth ones kind of like swirling around in my head. I want to do one about donor conception. I want to do one about same-sex families. I want to do one about surrogacy. You know, they'll all be under the work of art umbrella. I just think it's such a good thing to have these available to normalize the conversation, you know?
Exactly. And, you know, not all of your readers have the background that you do. So to be able to have a frank conversation through a book is such a wonderful gift, because it can be overwhelming to have a discussion with a 4-year-old or an 8-year-old, as you mentioned.
Right.
So a book is a great guide. And then being able to share, you know, their own personal story after reading the book with their child.
Right. Yeah. And, it, you know, in this story in particular, I say to my son, you know, he's like, IVF, is that like NBA? Like that's with basketball. So we kind of tie in some basketball stuff in there. And then there's a whole thing about secondary infertility and kind of like I explained to you earlier, like how I loved being a mom to Ever so much. I wanted to do it all over again. You know, so we touch on, it's not super heavy, you know, like I had to try to keep the tone digestible for little kids, you know, so it's not like real scientific, but we do talk about how he was made in a lab. And he's like, "I don't think Jack was made in a lab." And I'm like, "Maybe he was, you know, there's a lot of kids that were." So that's kind of foreshadowing to one of my future books. I'm going to have another, my friend Jack will be in one of the next stories. So I don't know. It's exciting. It's like a good creative outlet for me. And it was really, really fun to work on it. And yeah, I hope everybody loves it as much as I loved writing it.
Well, I can't wait to pick it up. So any tips for our listeners who are either preconception stage or, you know, struggling with infertility, what are your top tips, Ellie? So
my tips would be, if you're comfortable talking about it, find people that you can share with. Doesn't obviously have to be Fertility Rally. There's so many resources out there, but find your people, whether it's via Facebook or just friends or whatever. I feel like talking about it and sharing makes it so much easier. And you realize, you know, you're not alone. And these feelings that you're having of devastation and jealousy, and especially around the holidays, like we are now, like so hard, and everyone's being like, "When are you going to have a baby?" You know, asking questions like that. So to just kind of have a place where you can vent and share and cry and laugh, you know, I think is really, really important. People can always reach out to me. I'm on Instagram at InfertileF Stories. They can DM me. My DMs are totally open. I've been there. I know how hard it is and how sad it is. And even if you have a partner, sometimes you're not on the same page as the partner, and that can be really hard too. People are welcome to reach out to me at any time. And, you know, my other piece of advice would just be, do, you know, be true to yourself. One thing that I really kind of bothers me, I guess I would say, is when people are like, don't give up, don't give up. And I kind of feel like I don't like that terminology because I've talked to a lot of women who have gone down the infertility path and then pivoted because it wasn't happening. They weren't having babies. And they felt shamed that they felt like they quit or they gave up, but it was like their mental health was struggling, or they realized that they could have a really happy life without a baby. So I always try to veer away from that language of like, don't give up. And I think that's, if somebody has been doing this for a while and it's not happening, it's okay to walk away. It's okay to pivot. It doesn't mean that you're not going to be happy. And, you know, there's really, really good resources out there. Childless Collective, my friend Katie started this, and it's for people that pivoted from infertility she did it for her mental health, you know, reasons. Like, she was like, I can't keep doing this for years and years and years. A lot of people have to walk away because of financial reasons. So
it makes sense. Yes.
That it's okay that if it doesn't go the way that you thought it was, there's a community waiting for you there as well. So I just want to give people that resources like that as well, because you don't know what's going to happen. And that's the most frustrating thing about infertility, is like, it's so out of your control. You can only control so much. And some of it really just has to do with luck and like science. And, you know, like, even if everything's lined up perfectly well, sometimes it doesn't work out the way that you want it to. And that's so devastating. But just know that, you know, there's people there, no matter what the outcome is, to catch you when you're falling.
I love it. So how can our listeners find your book? You have the website, of course, infertileafgroup.com.
That's right. Yeah. So they can go to infertileafgroup.com. There's a bunch of different things on there that also links to Fertility Rally. If anybody wants to check it out, go to a support group, just DM me and be like, I want to see if it's my jam. And if it's not, no harm, no foul. You know, you're welcome to come and check out a group for free. And we just want people to be exposed to stuff. But people can also find me on Instagram at Infertile Life Stories. There's links in that bio as well for the rally and for the book. And again, like, if people want to just DM me and connect, or if they have questions, I'm totally available. I can put you in touch with doctors or experts or, you know, things like that. So it can be really overwhelming, but I'm there as a resource. So please lean on me if you guys need to.
Love it. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story and all of the amazing resources, Allie. It's been a pleasure, and I'll have to have you on when your next book comes out.
Thank you so much for having me. This is really, really cool. And, you know, I love what you're doing as well. So thank you to you for having this platform.
Well, thank you. Have a great day.
Thanks. You too.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to Ask the Doulas. For more information about Gold Coast Doulas, visit us on our website, goldcoastdoulas.com. We're also on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. If you like this podcast, please subscribe and give us a 5-star review. Thank you. Remember, these moments are golden.